Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe, text number 16, but there's no purport, so we'll keep on reading. Sukadeva Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadev and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Translation. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water, with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Bali Maharaj, the worshiper of Lord Vamanadev, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. Text number 19. Tadasarendram divi devata gana Gandharva vidyadara siddha charana Tat karma sarvep grinanta arjavam Prasuna varshara vivrishura mudanvita. Tada, at that time, Asura Indram, under the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, Divi, in the higher planetary systems, Devata Gana, the residents known as the demigods, Gandharva, the Gandharvas, Vidyadhara, the Vidyadharas, Siddha, the residents of Siddhaloka, Charana, the residents of Charanaloka, Tat, that, Karma, action, Sarva, Api, all of them, Grinanta, declaring, Arjavam, plain and simple, Prasuna Varshai, with a shower of flowers, Vavrishu, released, Muda Anvita, being very pleased with him. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. Oh, you could just imagine millions of flowers being showered upon Bali Maharaj. It's a nice meditation. And by the demigods, the Gandharvas, who are great singers, the Vidyadharas, obviously the very learned, the Siddhas, the perfected personalities, and the Charanas, showering flowers upon Bali Maharaj for his giving away the universe. Purport. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahman and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahmana. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana, savara gunas tatra samasate sura. A Vaishnava should possess the Brahminical qualities such as satya, shama, dhamma, ditiksha, and arjavam. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system. So Bali Maharaj is one of the Mahatmas. Swayambhur Sambhu. So who's the middle one? Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Shambhu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmo. Actually, I just got this wrong. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmo, Vaya, Vayasikir, Vayam. So, we have 12 Mahajans, headed by Lord Brahma, Swayambhur, Narada, Narada Muni, Shambhu, and then we have, who's the next one? I think it's Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmo. That's the third one. So it's Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras. Kumara, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmo, Vayir, Vayasakira, Vayam. So Balir is Bali Maharaj. So he's considered to be a Mahajan because he surrendered everything to Krishna and is advised in the Mahabharata, Tarka Apratishta Shutiya Vibina Nisav Varishira Brahma Atat Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. So we can argue about what to do. Matter of fact, everyone's arguing about what to do. If you have the misfortune nowadays to try to read the news, you'll find that no one agrees with anyone else. Everyone has the inside secret story on everything. And everyone else is wrong except for them. So this is called Tarka Apratishta. That such kind of argument is apratishta. There can't be any conclusion simply if we engage in such kind of argument. Even as the next world war, whoever's left over will fight with each other who started it. Three or four people remaining on the planet will kill each other over arguing over who started the war. So this is called apratishta. It's unsteady. Shrutiya vibina. And even if we take shelter of the scripture, the shruti, shruti means that which is heard. But we can hear so many things from authorities. Everyone has their shruti. Nowadays, for some people in America, Time magazine is shruti. Or I don't know here if anyone believes the newspaper. But some people do. The internet, whatever, is shruti. But we have our shruti, which is the four Vedas and the corollaries. But in those hearing, we have the different personnel, different scriptures for different people in different modes of nature. We have scriptures for those in the mode of ignorance, scriptures for the mode of passion, and scriptures for those in the mode of ignorance. There are even Ramayans for people in the mode of ignorance. And in those Ramayans, guess who the hero is in the Ramayan for those in the mode of ignorance? Who? What's that? Yes, Ravan is the hero. He was a great personality, he just wasn't looking, and this Ramachandra took advantage and killed the hero. If one is in the mode of ignorance, there will be certain qualities that people will appreciate. Goodness is not one of them. And those in the, so, there may be many different shrutis, many different scriptures, and they'll also contradict each other because they're meant for different people in the different modes of nature. And then we have Tarka Apratishta Shrutiya Vibhina Nasavarishira. Rishi means the great rishis, and there are principal rishis such as Gautama, Patanjali, Vaisheshika, Jamini, Vyasadeva, and they all contradict each other. One says, Vyasadeva says everything comes from Krishna. Another one says, Gautama, everything comes out of atoms. Another one says, everything came out of nothing. And they wrote scriptures. They compiled vast amounts of scriptures, and they have vast amounts of followers. So if it was a democracy, maybe we would have to accept that everything comes out of nothing. Because most people are materialists, avoidists nowadays. So there are so many philosophers, there are so many scriptures, there are so many arguments. No wonder we're confused. Because before coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, most of us were just immersed, absorbed in an ocean of mental speculation. We weren't reading, we weren't hearing from the rishis, we were hearing from some writer, from some newspaper, who was getting paid by some person with, who knows if he even knew what, you know, any principles were. Probably the only principle that the people follow that were brainwashing us is that there are no principles. And so being absorbed in that ocean, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. If we actually become interested in finding out what reality is, which most people don't really want to find out. Just like I mentioned, my mother, after I was in the movement for 50 years, practically speaking, a little bit less, she would never listen to anything. She didn't want to hear anything about Krishna consciousness. It was the last subject matter she wanted to hear about. And then one day, in a moment of weakness, she turned to me and said, "What is your philosophy anyhow?" And then she said, "No, don't tell me, don't tell me." So most people really don't want to hear this philosophy. They don't want to spoil their materialistic lives. Therefore, rare people, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, actually try to find out from others, sincerely, what is reality. Mahajno yena kata sabhanta. And therefore, they have to follow some Mahajan. Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in one purport, everyone has to choose a Mahajan. For those in the mode of ignorance, Ravana is a Mahajan. You can study the Ramayana and find out how to become a big demon. Or Hiranyakashipu. Or others, more contemporary asuras. And then people in the mode of passion, wealthy personalities who've created fortunes out of cheating people, they become the Mahajans, the people in the mode of passion. And there's all magazines on how to drink wine. There's actually full, what are the different types of alcoholic beverages that you can create? There's actually colleges you can go to and learn from those in the mode of passion. How to prepare meat in 5 million different ways. How to eat a dead animal. How to prepare all kinds of things. Snakes, grasshoppers, cockroaches, as side dishes. There is even a movement nowadays to try to convince people that actually eating insects is quite healthy. And you'll save the earth if you can just eat insects. It's a serious movement. People on television, they eat fried grasshoppers on television. So this is called I guess it's ignorance, but it's also some passion. And then there's some people in the mode of goodness. we were not very good nowadays, but anyhow, they're better than everyone else. Save the penguin. Save the whale. Kill your children, but the penguins, we gotta save the penguins. The cow, that's, you know, what's the use of a cow? But a whale, my God, if the whales go, the whole universe goes. So people don't know what the standard of goodness is. They don't even know that they're in ignorance. They think they're enlightened. The more titles, the more letters you put after someone's name, the more they think they're enlightened. Although they may not follow any principle whatsoever of controlling their mind and senses, but they think they're enlightened. Although they're in the darkness of ignorance. So what's the standard? Well, that everyone has to judge for themselves. That's why we have the material world. Everyone can become convinced that their standard is real and everyone else's standard is not real. But here we find, at least in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the demigods, they're appreciating Bali Maharaj's service of offering everything to Lord Vishnu. Of course, 99.99% of the people, at least outside of India, probably don't believe in demigods. So were the demigods showered flowers, or the demon showered flowers, or we got a bunch of flowers and threw it on him also. Wouldn't make any difference for most people. Because they don't believe in the demigods. They don't believe anyone could shower flowers from the sky unless you went up a helicopter and did it. What to speak of the Balimara, that Vamanadeva expanded himself in the whole universe. For them, the whole thing's a mythology. Just like they don't believe in goodness. They have no idea what mode of nature they're under. Therefore, Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi, bunjana vagunanvita, vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how a living entity quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So even before we get into what the modes of nature are, which should be for a person who's half conscious, you know, an understanding, ignorance means lack of consciousness, and goodness means full consciousness in the sense that one can understand that all living entities are just like oneself, for instance. Prabhupada was giving a lecture talking to the devotees in Bombay, and he mentioned to the devotees in Bombay that when someone pinches you, you feel some discomfort. Now, whether you're an Indian or you're a Westerner or you're from Africa or anywhere, if you're pinched, you feel some discomfort. It's not that people with a white skin, they feel discomfort, but people with a black skin, it makes no difference to them. But they want to imagine that there's something different, you know, that you're not real, you're not really up to our standard, that therefore we can pinch you and it won't make any difference because you have one color skin and we have another color. Or you're an animal, if we torture you, then that's all right because we have the power to do it. It's like you have a child. You say, my dear child, I think we're going to eat you today. I hope you have no objections. Wait a second. I don't really want to be eaten. Sorry. You have no power to say no because we have the power to eat you. And therefore, might makes right. Or in Africa, they have one tribe. They say that if you're alive, you're good. And if you're dead, you're bad. So if we kill you, you're bad. And if we're alive still, then that means we're good. Very simple way of looking at the world. You can't feel any conscience or guilt of what you do because you have no brains. Because you're in ignorance. So similarly, Bali Maharaj is being appreciated by these demigods from outer space. And how do we know they're demigods? Well, first of all, how do we know we're not this body? How do we know when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the body is changing? So let's hear an argument from anyone here, because anyone here will be embarrassed to give an argument that their body is not changing. Can anyone give an argument here that your body is not changing? Mukunda Madhava, can you argue, say something in defense of the fact that my body is not, your body is not changing? What about from 10 years ago? What about 25 years ago?
It was the same but smaller.
It was the same but different. Yes. How can you argue with such philosophy? It's the same but different. It makes the sound of one hand clapping. If you don't understand it, you just don't understand Zen, that's all. So Krishna says the body is changing, but the person within the body is not changing. So who can say here that they were in a 5-year-old body, but now they're in this body, but they're a different person? When they were 5 years old, they said, your name is Paul, and now they say your name is Juan. Paul left at 5, and now Juan is there at 35. Who feels that they're a different person than when they were 5 years old? That there was a different person experiencing things? So Krishna says that as a preliminary knowledge at which is everything else can be based on. That our bodies are changing, but we ourselves within the body are not changing. Now, here we talk about the demigods. First of all, we have to understand that with all this knowledge, you can go today and you can spend 24 hours on the internet. It's probably unlikely you'll find any website or any local news which will tell you, don't worry, we're not this body. Everyone's eternal. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. I don't think this is going to be quoted in any news article today. On the other hand, how many people actually believe that there's really a God controlling everything? And if God is controlling everything, then why can't he have assistants controlling the universe? Why does he have to do everything himself personally? Why is the sun rising at a certain time and setting at a certain time? Who's doing it? Well, if they say accident, all right, then throw up a whole bunch of coals that are on fire and see how many of them start circulating you by accident. We'll let you do it for 3 years and see if any of them start circumambulating you by accident. Let the scientists throw up a sun and let it circulate the earth by accident. After all, you needed the scientists to throw up a little Sputnik or a little satellite. Why didn't it just go up by accident and circulate the universe? Why did it take intelligent people to do it? And if the biggest satellite, the sun, is supposedly circumambulating this earth, going around the earth, or the earth is going around the sun, whatever, then how could that be by an accident? And if not by an accident, if there's intelligence behind it, then how do we, and we're so unintelligent, we don't know who that intelligence behind it is, then how can we judge whether there can't be some people throwing flowers from Charnaloka or Siddhaloka? How do we know? We don't know. We can't say I have experience of it, but we can't say it's impossible. Because we don't even know who we are. We don't have enough intelligence to realize who we are. So how can we make judgments on what Srimad Bhagavatam is? Who at least tells us something of reality, but tells us that we're not this body, and there's intelligence behind the universe. So we can conclude that we may not blindly accept Srimad Bhagavatam, but the point is, Because it's the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we read it and concentrate on it with faith, and even experience it by thinking about it, then we'll actually get it, come to a different level of consciousness ourselves. We'll come closer to the Bhagavatam's pure goodness. And then we'll be able to perceive for ourselves the difference. Just by reading Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna, we become purified, and therefore we can experience reality closer to the fact that I'm eternal, I'm full of bliss, and I'm full of knowledge, and that there's a Supreme Person. We don't need the affirmation of fools and rascals to decide whether Bhagavatam is valid or not. We can experience it for ourselves. On the other hand, even if we want to delve into the speculations of modern world, we'll be able to understand them only through the eyes of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That basically speaking, the whole world is full of asuras simply fighting with each other over eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Without any higher goal of life, because they're all in ignorance. And therefore to hear from them is a waste of time. Just like Bali Maharaj heard from Shukacharya, and he thought it was a waste of time. Better to concentrate on Vishnu and to perform devotional service to Vishnu rather than wasting my time listening to an asura like Shukacharya. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I would like to ask you about this overeating. You know, overeating—it's like included in, you know, the transformation inside the body. Yes, prasada can be like intoxication. Inside, because of chemical transformation, it's like too much, and so it's included in this principle that no intoxication, overeating.
Well, in the Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Priyasa Cha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Jana Sangasrilo Yam Cha Shad Bhakti Vinashiti. There are six principles that destroy pure devotional service. And the first one is ati, too much, ahara, too much eating. Too much eating will lead to priyasas, over-endeavor, which will lead to prajalpa, idle talk, which will lead to not following the rules and regulations properly, or following them without any real understanding of what we're doing. It will lead to fall down.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, question, how to combine being humble and not seeing others as less than yourself and rejecting karmis because they are materialistic and bad association?
Yes, that's a good idea. We should avoid bad association. We don't reject the karmis, we avoid their bad association. Instead, if we're able, we try to give them Krishna's association. We don't say we give them our association. If we act as an instrument for Krishna, we have that potency or that power, then we can give others our Krishna's association. If we're carrying Krishna within our heart, and therefore help them. We don't reject them. We avoid their association as upeksha, as it says. As we try to love Krishna, as we try and cooperate with the devotees, as we try and help the innocent, we avoid people who are materialistic. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to us. When he was asked, what is the definition of a Vaishnava? He said, a Vaishnava chara, stri sangi, that a Vaishnava rejects different people. One of them is stri sangi, those who are too attached to sense gratification. how does that go? A Vaishnava Char, Stri Sangi, Eka Bhakta, one who's not a devotee. Krishna, Tri Sangi, Eka Bhakti, and one who's not a devotee, one who's attached to sense gratification, and one who's a materialist.
Thank you. This, there are too many, two more questions from Avaduta Raya Dasa. Can I read?
Yeah.
Okay. Atharva Veda 3.3.6 speaks about people choosing their king. This means a kind of democracy. But democracy, as per Srila Prabhupada, is democracy.
Yes.
Any comments on these references?
Where does it say people choose their king?
3.3.6 Atharva Veda.
I don't know what that is. But Yudhisthira Maharaj was not chosen. Pariksit Maharaj wasn't chosen. King Nariga wasn't chosen.
Okay. Then another question from Avaduta Raya Dasa. Vishwanathi Chakravarta writes in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.50. Though Rama's giving up Sita is not pleasurable, it is also pleasurable. Can you explain this, please?
Giving up what?
Though Rama's giving up Sita is not pleasurable, it is also pleasurable.
Well, I could speculate. I don't know what the context is.
Thank you.
You can ask Lord Ramachandra when you see him. All right. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.